prophet's voice of prayer. Lord, today we enter your rest. We relax from our own efforts, realizing that it's all about you. Your mighty work in the cross and the resurrection did everything, transferring your life to us. We rest and we receive from you. You're in us and we're in you. Thank you. Amen. It's so important to realize our position with him. He's been speaking to us about hearing him for the last several weeks. There's no lack for sermons, but there is a lack for hearing and recognizing the voice of the Lord. I believe that we all hear him. Sometimes we don't recognize his voice. And I believe that we all see him. Sometimes we don't recognize his form. The two brothers on the road to Emmaus, you know, Jesus came up and started walking alongside them. They didn't recognize him. But it was him. And as he spoke, their hearts burned. And then all of a sudden, they had a revelation, and they recognized him, and he was taken away. I did a study. First of all, the title of the word is, You Are What You Hear. I did a study of the New Testament. There's a couple of different Greek words that are used for word. One of them is logos, and the other is rhema. And logos has to do with speaking also, but it's a concept or idea, communicating a concept or idea, a narrative, a matter under discussion. And it also has to do with your mind in reasoning. And then there's another kind of shade to it. And you find that in John 1:1 and 1 John 1:1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word. That Word is substance. It's a living, breathing human being. The other side of Word is rhema. Rhema is the spoken or voiced Word. So the word logos comes to our minds as ideas and concepts, but it needs to be voiced. When it's voiced, that's when the power is released. There's so much creativity within the word. And I want to look at some of the areas so we realize why he wants us to hear him. It's not just so he can fill our minds with a bunch of concepts. He wants to change us. The word is so creative. You know, our culture puts a lot of emphasis on creativity. Creativity is admired. It's purchased. It's stolen. It's copied. You know, artists are revered. Van Gogh's painting, The Irises, I think sold at Sotheby's auction for $42 million. Was it worth that? I don't know. How much is a canvas and a few tubes of paint? It's much more than that, right? And people think, well, you know, the artists are creative and the musicians are creative, but I'm not creative. Well, I disagree. We have his spirit within us. We have him within us. And he is the most creative entity on earth. How many have read the Chronicles of Narnia? You remember when the Trinity was creating the earth, they sang. This song came out, and things started happening. That's the spoken word, the Rhema. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Let's go to John 6, please. And I want to look at verse 63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. That word creates us. And if you go down to 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Really, if you look at the King James, it says, your teaching begets eternal life. So that Rhema creates the eternal life within us. Isn't that far out? I love that. And it's come up recently it's Matthew 4:4 for those that are writing this down. It's quoted from Deuteronomy. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every rhema from the mouth of God. Every spoken word is what we live by. Now, I'm not discounting the scripture one bit, and I'll get into that. And then we all know Ephesians. Well, we better go there. Let's go to Ephesians 5, if that's okay. In Ephesians 5:25 says, did I get that right? 26. Well, we'll start at half of 25. Yeah, we'll do it. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Again, washing with water through the Rhema, the spoken word. As we listen to the Lord speak to us, we're washed. The eternal life is created within us. I mean, we're all We're all groaning for creation to be swept up into the kingdom of God. Well, the change starts in this earth right here. As we listen, the change happens. You know, the woman worked 3 measures of yeast into the flour, and the change started taking place. It's just like that. And then everybody knows Ephesians 6, where it talks about the armor of God. Well, 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, the spoken word. You know, I'm sure there's been many cases where some saint has gone chasing after somebody that was on drugs or doing something, quoting scripture, chasing after them, quoting scripture. Well, it's not good enough to throw the logos at them. It needs to be an inspired word. Right. And when it's a rhema, it creates a change. It's not enough to remember a bunch of scriptures for this situation and that situation. Now, let's tie this together since we're already there. I never really understood the relationship of this before. But let's see, where did I write that down? Let's go back to John 14, and I'll show you this. And it's in verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. If we haven't read what Jesus said, how can the Holy Spirit remind us? We have to have taken it in first. This is such an important revelation to me. I think I'm going to throw myself into reading even more. It's beautiful. He's going to teach us all things and remind us or bring to our remembrance. It's fantastic. When the Holy Spirit brings it up to our remembrance, it's rhema. When it's in the Bible, it's logos. It's a concept. It's the rhema that is the active word. It's the active ingredient. How many worked on computer stuff like 15 years ago? You remember the disk operating system, DOS? Okay, you had files. You had some files like a README, and you knew that was documentation. But then you had files with EXE on the end. Execute, those were the active ones. They started the thing running. That's what we want. Jesus said in Luke 8:18, consider carefully how you hear. We need to know what he said. Hebrews 1:1 says, he's spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is the embodiment of everything God has ever had to say and ever will say. And we have him. Just try and figure that one out. We have the word. The Word is in us and we're in the Word. It's fantastic. No wonder he says in 1 John that you don't have any need for anybody to teach you. It's true. But we need to know what he said, so he can give it to us at the right time, in the right situation. We'll know his mind and we'll hear from him. But there's a soil condition that needs to happen too, you know. Allow him to plow up the rocks. Allow him to turn the weeds under. And it's not like it's gonna harm us. It's not pleasant necessarily, but we give ourselves over to him because we know he loves us. He loves us so much, he's pleased to reveal Christ within us. That's beautiful. So that's all you're trying to do? Reveal Christ in me? Let it be so. Let it be unto me according to your word, to your logos and your rhema. We're participating, getting involved with the word. We're participating in creation. We're experiencing oneness with his word. We're automatically creative. You don't need to go out and get a canvas and paint. You don't need to make jewelry. You don't need to write music. But his presence in you will cause things like that to happen. So don't rule it out. And many other things. Hearing his word and voicing it is the most creative act on earth. Now you're hearing this from an artist. This, I really believe this. And we can all get involved in this. I encourage you to. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart. Isn't that beautiful? I'm not preaching it to everybody I meet. I've hidden it. I'm letting it grow. I'm letting that yeast develop so it takes over the entire batch. When I make yeast for my wine, it's so cool. Because I start with some juice and I dilute it with water and I heat it up to 104 Fahrenheit and I put the yeast in. And it starts to bubble a little bit. All of a sudden, within 10 minutes, I have it in a half-gallon container. The surface starts to rise. The yeasts are just going for it. And it will overflow very quickly. That's how the word is with us. Create the right environment and the yeast goes crazy. If you dump the yeast in cold liquid, they die. -95 to 104 Fahrenheit, that's the magic temperature. Get it higher than that, you kill them. Lower than that, and they're crippled. The word. Create the right environment for hearing him. The heart that says, I want to hear you, Lord. I can't go another day without it. I don't want to live life if I don't hear you. Nothing satisfies that. Not drugs, not alcohol, not sex, not TV, not work. not busyness, nothing. I must hear you. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Let's go to Hebrews 4, please. Hebrews 3 and 4 are concerned with rest. And I've loved these chapters so much. But the one thing that I couldn't figure out was, starting at verse 12 in chapter 4, it says, you know, it talks about, well, let's look at 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Now, disobedience can be doing your own thing. It could be doing something wrong, but it can be trying to do the right thing too. Don't you think? If God has already created this life for us, and He's come to us, and He's in us, if we're trying to get to Him, then we're kind of missing it, huh? You remember when Samuel told Saul, wait for me, I'll be there in 7 days, and Saul got a little impatient and offered a sacrifice, and Samuel was none too happy about it. So Saul did a right thing, he just didn't listen. He wasn't obedient. It was a good thing, but it was just wrong, because it wasn't his job to do that. So it says, make every effort to enter that rest. In other words, cease from disobedience, cease from your own works. And then it goes on to say, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Now, let me ask you, is this Logos or Rhema? What's the opinion? Voice it, please. I was sure it was Rhema. It's Logos. And I was so confused, because this, you know, the Spirit brought this scripture to my mind. I wrote it down, and I put Rhema in a question mark. And then when I went and I researched it the next day, I realized it was Logos. And I wrote, why? on my note. And the next morning, when I got frustrated with not being able to surf, maybe that doesn't play into this, I don't know. The Lord said, as we rest, the Word is living and active within us. As we rest, He has access in us and through us. The embodiment of the Word starts to happen as we rest. We're not just manipulating it or parroting it. It's being embodied within us. Jesus was the new man. He was the type of what all the rest of the sons and daughters are going to be, correct? Well, the Word embodied in us. The Word is becoming flesh within us. As we rest and we realize what he has done for us, we'll be so identified with the Word, we're the Word. I don't think that's a stretch of the imagination. I want to be the substance of the Word in the earth. Amen. Thank you. It's sweet. It's so sweet. The Word. See if I missed anything. Oh yeah, Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema. But you would have known that one already because you're understanding this. Rest. Let the Word become.
Just to say it again, I think it's so important. The rest is the right environment or climate of our heart for the Word of God to be all it's meant to be within us. And that is so contrary to our religious conditioning. And we realize what an enemy that conditioning is of what the Spirit is actually doing in our lives and what the Spirit has already done. So we believe for such a revelation of this. Lord, Holy Spirit, make it real to us.
Yes.
There therefore remains, it says in the Word, a rest to be entered into. The Israelites didn't do it. I think in this hour there is a rest, place of abiding in the Spirit that remains for the people of God, where we cease from our own religious activity and we allow God to be God within us through his living Word. Amen. Let's stand together. Very good.